God can, and he's not lacking in any power or anything. So at this time, if the young people that need to slip out, will slip out, that'd be great. Appreciate you being in here and listening to the music. That was a blessing, wasn't it? I've been able to hear these young ladies several times this summer, but it's still a blessing every time I hear them. And it's kind of like the Word of God, never gets old. And so appreciate that so much, and wonderful to be with you. If you'd like to have any more information about the college, we spent more time in Sunday school talking about Ambassador, but there's a lot of information there on the table in the foyer, as well as some books and some CDs there that I trust you'll consider. And if they can be a blessing to your home, that's why we cart them around, right? I mentioned just briefly Dr. Comfort's autobiography that is there. That's just a wonderful monument to God's grace and a family. And in his personal life, there's a book there on how to know the will of God. There's several books, kind of devotional type things by Dr. Childs, who was a staff member at Ambassador for many years. And things that can be a help to you. There's a book on prophecy by Dr. Comfort there, Last Things. And so feel free to browse a while. And one of the young ladies will be out there to help you with that. On the right-hand side are CDs. Two feature Dr. Alton Beal, and one of them is called Nearer Still Nearer. Those are all solos. And then the other is our favorite, and you'll soon know why, but it's called Calvary Covers It All. It's kind of a white cover there, and there are 8 solos on there, and then there are 6 quartets, and the first tenor on those quartets is Aaron. Okay, so that's why it's our favorite. So Aaron, our son, our youngest son, sings first tenor on those quartets, and it's a great CD. And those are $10 each, but we have our $5 blue light specials, and those are the other two CDs. They're great recordings. They've just been around a while. We want to get them out of the box and into the home so they can be a blessing. All right, one is Daniel and Heidi Fox, who are Ambassador grads. And then the other is just a variety of recordings over several years span, even I think there at Ambassador. And you will be blessed with that also, the kind of music you've heard this morning. And you'll get a blessing from that. Take your Bibles today and turn to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to begin in just a moment a very familiar verse. Verse 17. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. As you're turning, let me just tell you what we're going to get, all right? Because we're going to do this fairly quickly this morning with, the extra time for special music and stuff, which has been a blessing. We don't have a long time here to spend because I know that your roast will burn if we stay too late, all right? And so we're going to look at 3 things this morning. First of all, our new man. And we're going to find that in verse 17, very, very obvious. And second of all, our new mission, which we're going to find in verses 18, 19, and 20. We're going to see our new motivation, lastly, and we're actually going to look at verses 14 and 15 for that, but we'll not read those at this time, right? So our new man, our new mission, our new motivation, and if it's anything that America needs, it's this message this morning, I believe. It's a burden God's put on my heart, and I hope he'll burden and challenge all of us with it today. All right? Starting in verse 17, let's stand for the reading of God's word. If you're able and if you're more comfortable seated, that's fine. But you've been sitting a while listening to music, this might help. All right? Get ready for the message. Verse 17 of 2 Corinthians 5 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Verse 18, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ." Now note this last phrase, "and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." Verse 19, "To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them." And note this last phrase of this verse, "and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." Does that sound a little familiar? It's almost a repeat of what we saw in verse 18, wasn't it? The last phrase of 18, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, last phrase, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Verse 20 is one of our favorite words at Ambassador Baptist College. Can you see why? Look at that fifth word if you're in doubt. It says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for our nation today, but how needy our nation is today, that need the word of the gospel, needs Christians who will step up and share the word of reconciliation to all of those that need it. We pray that you would help speak to our hearts, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Our new man, here verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And so we see this new person after we've trusted Christ as our Savior. Now, the key to that is that about the sixth or seventh word in there, therefore, if any man be in Christ. The question is this morning, are you in Christ? There may be some that say, Brother Doyle, how do you get in Christ? Simply by trusting Him as your personal Savior. The Bible says that when we trust Christ, that we are become a child of God. We get in Christ and Christ in us. But the question is, do you know that for sure? As you're sitting here comfortably in this wonderful auditorium here at Victory Baptist Church, do you know that you're in Christ? Do you know that you're a child of God? Do you have that settled completely in your life, that you are in Christ? If you don't, you can get that settled before you leave here today. You know, Christ Himself says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know, some folks try going by the way of good works, don't they? You talk to them about if they're sure that they're on their way to heaven, they say, well, I just do the best I can, you know. And I think that one of these days when I get to heaven, God's going to kind of weigh my good works and weigh my bad works. And, you know, if my good works outweigh my bad works, then He'll say, welcome to heaven, you know. But, you know, the Bible doesn't teach that. Nowhere. In fact, there's nothing that we can do. The Bible says that our righteousnesses are just as filthy rags. Anything that we might think is good that we do, whether it's helping our fellow man or giving to something or whatever we think could be good and be classified as good works, in God's sight is just a filthy rag. There's no good work that can get us into heaven. You know, to get into heaven, we would have to be perfect from the day we were born. I've never met someone like that, have you? And the reason I've never met one like that is because there never has existed one like that except for God Himself in human flesh, Jesus Christ. And Jesus came to this earth and He gave Himself on the cross for us so that we could be saved. He's the only one that could accomplish that. And now the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So are you in Christ? It goes on to say, if we are in Christ, it says He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Aren't you glad that God makes a difference when He comes in? Christ makes a difference in our life. Has He made a difference in yours? I know if you know Him, He has. He's made a difference in my life. Took a young man who was just as shy as could be, a young man who was born, and I've shared this before, born barefoot, going to school till sixth grade, born in a house, a cottonseed house at home, you know, in very, very poor circumstances, and He has made a difference in my life. And I know He has made a difference in your life. What are some of those differences? Let's look at them quickly. First of all, we have a different destiny, don't we? And aren't you glad about that? We don't have to lay our head on our pillows at night worrying if I don't wake up in the morning, you know, for some reason that this is the night that I die, that I don't know where I'm going to be. But as a Christian, we know that our destiny, our eternal destiny, is heaven forever. So we don't have to worry about sickness. We don't have to worry about other things. We can completely put our confidence and rest in God, knowing that as a Christian, if we're in Christ, we have a different destiny. If we aren't in Christ, there's a lot to worry about, isn't there? There's a lot to be afraid of, because if you do not know Christ, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And that's talking about, that word death in the Bible is used, it means separation. What kind of separation are we talking about there? We're talking about when the wages of sin, what we earn for our sin, is eternal separation from God in a lake of fire, the Bible describes. That is an awful, terrible place. But I'm glad as a Christian, we have a different destiny. We have a different demeanor, don't we? We act differently as a Christian. At least we ought to. You know, if you go to work and can be around the unsaved folks there at work and act like them and look like them and feel like them and just be comfortably at home with them, something's wrong, isn't it? Because we as Christians act differently because we know better. You know, sometimes we see how the world acts and how they think and how they are, and we say, how in the world could they ever think or act or do that? It's because they don't know the Lord. That's why. It's not because they're an inferior person. We don't look down our noses at someone who is not saved. We just realize they need Christ so that they too can have a different demeanor. They can act different. They can be sweeter, you know. Christians, are we sweet Christians? I hope so. I hope when people see our lives that there's something different about them and they can realize that we know the Lord. We have a different destiny. We have a different demeanor. We have different desires, don't we? The world's desires center around themselves. How can I get some kind of pleasure out of life? And I, you know, you can't hardly blame them as a Christian because they don't have the peace that God gives. They don't have the fulfillment that God gives. They don't have the contentment that God gives. They don't have the purpose that God gives. They don't have all of these things, so they've got to find it somewhere. So what do? They look to alcohol. They look to drugs. They look to an immoral lifestyle. They look to whatever area, wherever they're looking for it, they're looking in the wrong places because it is all aimed at getting something that can satisfy, something that can fulfill, something that can give peace, something that helps them to forget. But it's wonderful as a Christian that our desires, our different desires, center around Him, don't they? That our desire, our principal desires in life as a Christian are to bring honor and glory to Almighty God and to please Him in all that we do. And you know when we do? It is wonderful to be a Christian, isn't it? Don't you like that song? Oh, it is wonderful to be a Christian. Oh, it is wonderful to be God's child. It starts out, life has purpose now it never had before. Isn't it wonderful to know the Lord? We have a different destiny. We have different demeanor. We have different desires. We have different delights. Things that delight us are different than things that delight the world. You know, your neighbors, if they don't know the Lord, and, you know, sometimes we really confuse them. They might understand a little bit why we crank up our cars and go to church on Sunday morning. But when we do the same thing on Sunday night, that really starts getting confusing to them, you know. What are those people doing up there? They're just going to church all the time. And then on Wednesday nights, we really get in their crawl. What in the world are these folks doing? Church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Then when revival comes on and they do it on Monday night, Tuesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, what is the end of these folks, you know? Well, that's all right. You know, we can let them wonder, can we? Because we have different delights as a Christian. We find out that it's delightful to fellowship with the people of God. It was a delight this morning just to come in, shake some hands, say howdy, how are you doing, and see folks we haven't seen in a long time. It's a delight to fellowship with God's people. It's a delight to sing together as a congregation, isn't it? To sing even these patriotic songs we've been singing this morning, it's a delight to lift our voices together. In fact, during the COVID thing, when you know folks were not coming, I don't know exactly how y'all handled it here, but some churches shut down for a couple of weeks, you know, and people, one of the things that I missed the most was corporate singing. You know, you can hear the preaching at least on live stream, but when you're singing by live stream, it's just you. You know, you're just singing along, which is a blessing, but not quite like just joining our voices together, isn't it? And just lifting our praises to God. And that was just a wonderful delight. And it's been a delight this morning. It's been a delight to hear the special music. As I mentioned, I just thrilled with the choir singing today and with the young lady singing. It's been a delight. We have different delights as a Christian. We delight to hear the Word of God. Now, it steps on our toes sometimes. You know, sometimes it makes us a little uncomfortable. But still, it's a delight to hear and learn and be admonished and challenged by the Word of God. So we have different delights, don't we? We're a new man when we're in Christ. Second of all, we have a new mission. Our mission is in two parts this morning. Let me give you the first one, all right? First of all, we've been given the mission of the ministry of reconciliation. We brought it to your attention there in verses 18 and 19, the last phrase. Verse 18 says, "And hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." Verse 19, "And hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." Now, this morning, it would behoove us to think about who is that us. Some people think that's the pastor. You know, or that's the church staff, or that's the missionary, or perhaps that's the evangelist. They've been given the ministry of reconciliation. But you know that Paul was not writing to just the pastors. He was not writing just to the missionaries. He wasn't writing just to the evangelists. Paul was writing to the church at Corinth. And you know what the church is? The church are saved people. People have trusted Christ as their Savior. And Paul, in fact, we could go back, we won't take time, and look at the very beginning of 2 Corinthians, or the very beginning of 1 Corinthians, and the Paul spelled out who he was writing to. He was writing to the church, the believers at Corinth. And here it's just talked about, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. So he's writing to all of us who know Christ as our Savior. And he says that us, so that means me, not just the pastor, it means me. Not just the evangelist, it means me. Not just the missionary, it means you, it means me, all of us here today. Not just the person beside you, but the person that is you, all right? It says he hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Well, I know reconciliation is kind of a, you know, $10 word. You say, Brother Joel, what is that all about? Reconciliation is just a Bible word for repairing or fixing or healing our relationship with God. That fellowship, that relationship has been broken. What has broken our relationship with God? It's three letters, starts with S and begins with N. That word is sin, right? Sin is what breaks that fellowship. And God says that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. It started way back in Genesis. It started back with the Garden of Eden. God created Adam. God created Eve. And everything was perfect. We can't even imagine that, can we? Imagine a perfect environment. You know, not too hot, not too cold. Not too wet, not too dry. I was just hearing on the radio just yesterday or this morning maybe about some area there. We're having a real drought, you know, not enough. And we hear that all the time, don't we? You hear the hurricanes coming. Well, there was no hurricanes in the Garden of Eden. Yeah. It was just right. Everything was perfect until Adam and Eve disobeyed God. And they chose to sin just like we choose. They chose to sin. They chose to disobey God that day. And that day, when they chose to sin, there was no longer sweet fellowship. You know the song that we sing sometimes? And he walks with me and he talks with me. They had that before sin. But after sin, they were over hiding in the bushes. And God came, "Where are you?" Now, God knew where they were. But he just wanted them to speak up from the bushes and admit that they were out there hiding in the bushes because of the guilt and shame of their sin. And since that day, every person on this earth has been born a sinner by choice, a sinner by birth. and we need to be reconciled to God. We need to experience that act of reconciliation, only made possible through Jesus Christ, as I mentioned before. Christ left the glories of heaven. The trio just sang about that so wonderfully just a while ago, and they gave his life for us on that cross so that we could be saved. That is what reconciliation is all about. You know, in this old world, if we need anything on this 4th of July, as we think about our country, and as we ask God to spare our country and to have mercy on our country, the best thing that we could do today is to have every Christian in the United States get involved in the ministry of reconciliation. You know, we're pretty good at making excuses, aren't we? We're pretty good at saying why we can't. But we need to say, dear God, I'm going to accept this mission. It's been given to me, not just the pastor, not just evangelist, not just the missionary. It's been given to me, this ministry of reconciliation. Verse 18 says, it's given to us the ministry. Verse 20 is committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So it's high time that we stop and think and say, yes, I will accept this mission. You know, I sometimes entitle this message, Mission Impossible, because that's why some people think about it, don't they? Like, well, Brother Doyle, I just can't do it. You know, I'm just not that kind of person. I just can't, no way. But you know, God will never ask you to do something that he won't help you to do it. And all of us can share the gospel. But how long has it been? How long has it been since you gave a tract to someone? How long has it been since you shared the gospel with someone from the Word of God? How long has it been since you invited someone to church actively? Are we involved in the ministry of reconciliation? May God speak to our hearts. Secondly, our new mission involves the ministry of representation. The ministry of representation. In verse 20, it says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador is an accredited diplomat sent by a country as its official representative to a foreign country. Now, some people look on Georgia as a foreign country, but we're not, right? We're just, we're okay. And Georgia is a wonderful place. Yesterday, we had to take the ladies out to Billy's place, okay, because we needed them to experience just a little bit about Georgia culture, you know, and Georgia eating, and I'm not sure they had any catfish. I did, you know, at least once a year I eat catfish, okay, when I come down to Georgia, but I think they had some grits. Did y'all have some grits? And they had some shrimp and stuff, and some fried pickles. That'll probably do it, right? You know, there may be official Georgians now. They had some fried pickles. But that was an experience at Billy's place, you know. And some will say, Georgia's foreign. No. But others will say, Brother Doyle, how can I be an ambassador, which is someone that represents, you know, some country to a foreign country? Well, you know, we really can. Why? Because this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Remember that song? My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. We're not at home in this world. In fact, in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11 and verse 13, it says that they confessed they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. And we are. We don't belong to this world. Remember our new man? Our different desires, different this, different that, all of our differences. We're not at home in this world. Can we be an ambassador? Yes, we can. Should we be an ambassador? Yes, we should. Are we an ambassador? That's the question. As our family looks at us, do we represent God to them? Our actions, our attitudes, our thinking, our speech. As our neighbors look at us, are we really an ambassador to them for God? As our co-workers watch our lives, are we really an ambassador for God to them? We should be, shouldn't we? May it challenge our hearts. So we're to be involved in this new mission, ministry of reconciliation, a ministry of representation, and then we come to our new motivation. Verse 14, we didn't read this a while ago, but verse 14 says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." He did that for us. We should do that for him, right? But the verse 14 says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." That word constrain has the idea of compelling us, or almost forcing us, constraining us. The love of Christ constraineth us. You know, if we have problems sometimes in sharing the gospel, if we have problems sometimes standing up for God, just remember what Christ did for you. Remember how he left the glories of heaven, that perfect place of heaven, and came and was born on this earth, this vile, dark earth, among sinful men just like you and just like me. Born in that manger in that day, grew up spotless Lamb of God, then one day gave himself on that cross, hanging there in public shame for your sins and for my sins, for the sins of the whole world. He bore on his body that day. He bore our punishment, our hell. He bore. Can't we give out a gospel tract to someone? Can't we share the gospel with someone? Can't we invite someone to church? Maybe have them over for a meal and then bring them to church? Get them here some way? Tie them up? Yeah, no, I wouldn't recommend that. Can't we be involved in this new mission that some people think is impossible, but with God, all things are possible? The young ladies just a little while ago sang the song, "God Can." God's hand is not shortened. God has not gotten weak. God can still save. God can still work in hearts and lives, whether it's in individuals or whether it's in our country. God can do that. We just need to, by faith, say, "Okay, God, I will accept the mission that you've given. I won't look at it as a mission impossible. I'll look at it as something that I can do with your help. I can do it with your power. I can do it if you'll be alongside me." And he's promised to do that. But you know, all of us are real good at making excuses. I'm going to close by bringing attention to someone that we know very well from the Word of God. And that man is the man Moses. You know, if I were to ask you to list the five greatest leaders in the Word of God, I think Moses would probably just about have to make that list, Pastor. I think he would just about, right? Moses was the one that stood in front of Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go." You know, that we read about that and we think about that, but have you ever thought about what that was like? He was standing in front of Pharaoh, the leader of that country, and he was saying something that Pharaoh did not enjoy hearing. And it could have been, "All right, guards, come right in and just take care of this guy," you know? But it was that Moses. It was this Moses that we're thinking about that held his rod at the commandment of God over the Red Sea, and the Red Sea parted, and they were able to walk through on dry ground. It was this Moses that struck the rock, and water came forth, enough to quench the thirst of several million people, probably. It was this Moses that made that trek up the mountain that day, talked face to face with God. When he came down from after that time on the mountain spent with God, his face even glowed with God's presence and God's light. so much so that people, you couldn't stand to be by Moses and talk to him because it was just too bright. His countenance was too bright for the glory of God. Remember, he had to put a veil over his face for a time. This Moses, you say, wow, God used him in a great way. What a great leader. What a great man of God. And he was. But back in Exodus 3, you don't have to turn there for lack of time, but in Exodus 3, when God first talked to Moses about his mission, he wasn't real excited about it. In fact, he sounded like you and me a lot of times. In verse 11 of chapter 3 of Exodus, Moses said unto God, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" Now, does that sound familiar? Oh, you need to be involved in the ministry of reconciliation. But I haven't studied 3 years in Bible college. You know, I haven't, you know, taken a year's course in witnessing or something like that. Who am I that I could do this? Moses was right there. In verse 13, "And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them?" This one really kills me. This is great. Moses, you know, if they ask me this question, what am I going to say to them? And how many times have we been right there? You know, what if they ask me a question that I don't know the answer to? You know, I just don't feel like I can do this. They might ask me something like, how many angels can fit on the head of a pin or something? You know, what'll I say to them? You know, by the way, that's easy. It's very easy. You just say, I'm not sure. But I'll check on that and let you know. And then you come ask Pastor, and he'll tell you how many angels can fit on the head of a pin, all right? And then you can go back and you can tell. You know, the Bible has the answer for everything. If nothing else, you know, it talks about foolish questions, and some might be just in the category, that's just a foolish question, you know? But you can learn learn what the Bible says about it. You can ask Pastor. He'll let you know. It's no big deal. But Moses says, oh, I don't know what to say. What am I going to say if they ask me this? His last excuse was in verse 11 of chapter 4, or verse 10. It says, "And Moses said unto the Lord, Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue." How many times have we thought that, huh? Yeah. I can't speak. I just kind of get my words all mixed up, and I don't know what to say. And I don't. Moses said the same thing. But you know, after this, after Moses began his leadership of the children of Israel, he didn't have any problem speaking. It was him that stood in front of Pharaoh and says, "Let my people go." He was able to say that. He was able to tell the children of Israel what God was telling him. You see, Moses speaking time after time after time after time. How did that happen? God can. You know, God finally agreed. He said, "We'll send Aaron with you. We'll send Aaron because we know he can talk. We'll send Aaron." But you know, we hardly ever hear of Aaron's saying much after that. When we do, a lot of times he was saying the wrong thing. Remember the golden calf? Oh, we put this stuff in a jar. Out came this golden calf. Aaron, what are you talking about? Yeah. But it was Moses who was speaking to the people. It was Moses who was speaking to God. He might not have thought he could do it, but he could because God can. And you're right this morning. If you sit here and you say, "I can't do that, Brother Doyle. I can't share the gospel. I can't do this." Yes, you can because God can. If you know him, if you've become that new creature in Jesus Christ, you just have to say, "Yes, God." So how'd Moses get to where he needed to be then after all of that? Well, we won't look at the verse, but two verses, chapter 3, verse 4. When God started speaking to Moses, Moses said, "Here am I." That meant that at least Moses was listening to God. You know, sometimes when we hear a preacher preach, it's kind of like, well, I don't know about that. You know, the Holy Spirit speaks to our life. You know, we might not do it physically. We might not do it like this physically. But that's what we're doing down here, isn't it? We're not listening. Moses at least was listening. He says, "Here am I." Then he gave the excuses, talked to God about it, but then what happened in the end? In chapter 4, in verse 18, I think it was, the very first three words, it says, "And Moses went." And Moses went. If America needs anything today, it needs Christians and churches all around this nation who will say, okay, I'll just went. I'll just go. And I'll spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'll be involved in the ministry of reconciliation. I'll be involved in being an ambassador for God, the ministry of representation. And this, let this darkened nation see someone who knows God. And hear someone talk about God. Are you involved in the ministry of reconciliation? Let's bow in prayer, please. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.